Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We'll start to read at verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I again thank you for the Bible, the Word of God, and thank you for this portion of Scripture. Thank you for the book of Revelation. Thank you for just who you are and how great and good you are. Thank you for the salvation you provided for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Father, tonight, once again, as we look into your Word, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom, and I ask you, Lord, to do what needs to be done, Father, this evening in these services. I pray for Jerry today, tonight, as he preaches also. You be with him, empower him, and use him. In Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start at verse number 12. He said, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be. I think anybody that knows their Bible knows true salvation and knows what the Bible says. We know that salvation is apart from works. Works has nothing to do with salvation. But when it comes to rewards, we are rewarded according to works. And there's a principle that I believe it'd be good for us to just stop for a few moments, it won't take a whole long time, and give to us a principle that I believe that every one of us ought to take very, very seriously. The day is coming when Jesus Christ, he says, he is coming back, and he's bringing his rewards with him to give to every man according to his works. Now that means you, that means me. And the rewards that Jesus Christ gives will be according to our works, not the quantity of our works, I believe, and I'll show you as we go through some of these things, but the quality of our work. Not what kind of work it was, but it was the work God appointed us. That's what we've got to remember. God didn't appoint you to be a preacher. He won't hold you accountable to be a preacher. If he accounted me to be a preacher, then he's going to hold me accountable as a preacher. But whatever he's appointed you to do, and let me assure you of one thing, he has appointed you to do something. Does not necessarily it has to be some important job in the church. Does not necessarily have to mean that. But it means that you have and I have an appointment by God to do works for him that will honor and glorify his name, because one day he's coming and he's going to reward us according to our works, every single one of us. Amen. So I want you to remember that, because too many times we look and we say, well, so-and-so, either he's a preacher, he's a deacon, he's this or that, and he's responsible. Yes, he is responsible, but so are you. So is every individual in this room. I'm saying that because I want you to one day, as you stand before Jesus Christ, I want you to stand there faithful to God, having done whatever it was that God gave you to do. That's what I want for you. Amen? And that's what's going to count then. We can look at all these things down here, but folks, that's when it's all going to come out. Amen? So what I'm saying that is, I'm trying to give you and I a just a kind of an illustration tonight and show us that one day we will stand before Jesus Christ and He will hand out rewards according to our works. I want to take you over to some scripture. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians, 5th chapter. Now I'm going to read lengthy portions of scripture, but I want you and me to just listen to what God is saying, okay? Listen to what the Lord is saying to us. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I'm going to read verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Notice the word labor. You do not labor for salvation. That's a free gift. But for rewards, we labor. Amen. That's a work. It's a laboring. And he says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. The words good or bad there speaks of that which is acceptable or unacceptable. It speaks of that which is usable by God or not usable by God. In other words, the things that we do, and as he says there, he's going to give us rewards according to that he hath done. That's works, correct? And it's what we have done, and whether it's been useful to the work of God or unuseful to the work of God, okay? That's what's going to matter. And we can do a whole lot of things, and many things maybe does not have to do with just church business, but our life matters. Our whole life, wherever you're at, any time of day matters in the work of God, you see. And so he's saying, is it good or is it bad? Well, is it acceptable? Is it unacceptable? Is it usable by God or is it unusable by God? Okay. Now, I want to go over to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Again, we won't read a whole lot of lengthy verses because you're familiar with this portion of Scripture, but I want you to listen very carefully to what God is saying. In verse number 12, for if any man build upon the fifth foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Remember, his work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The word sort there means of what quality it is. What work it is, what quality it is, what sort of work was it? It's going to be tried by fire. Now, we all understand that, I believe, don't we? And doesn't that mean maybe you and me and everybody else that our works are going to be tried? Okay. He says, for if any man's work abide which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, there's going to be rewards for our works. And when Jesus says at the very end of his book, his wonderful book, he says, I'm going to come again, I'm going to come quickly, and I'm going to bring those rewards with me. And I'll tell you what I like about it is he's the one that's going to be presenting them to us. He's bringing his rewards, and yet I like about that, and then I think, what an awesome thing to stand before Jesus Christ and let him hand us out rewards. It's amazing. But remember, that day will come. Okay? It'll come for all of us. So again, he's simply saying here, we need to build upon the right foundation. We need to make sure that our works are the right proper kind of works, because if they're not, they'll be burned up. We'll lose reward for them. They'll be no good whatsoever. We'll lose reward, but the right kind of works for God will be rewarded. Amen? Now, go with me to Matthew. You might want to hold 1 Corinthians there. We'll be back to that in just a moment. But go with me to the book of Matthew, the 10th chapter. Verse number 42, the very last one. Listen to what he says. And whosoever shall give, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I want you to notice by that, God says, he's going to take note of even the very smallest action. The very smallest action. This cup of water was given even in the name of a disciple. He said, you'll receive a reward. That's a very small action. That's a very small work, giving someone a cup of water. But if it's done for his glory and for his honor, that it was usable by him, then there's going to be a reward for it. See? So only, don't remember, it's not the big things, folks. I mean, certainly we want to do the big things, but it's not the big thing. It's these little things of life. Okay? Just remember that. Luke, the 19th chapter, please. Luke, the 19th chapter, the 16th verse. He says, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, good, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. If you notice here, he said, and let me read that again, I didn't read it well. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Once again, you notice it's the work that is done that is rewarded. The works you do from day to day. He said you was faithful in the very least. It wasn't much we was faithful in, but God says, I'm going to put him over 10 cities. Now, again, I'm saying to you, well, why, Brother Ross, are we stressing this? Because, folks, I don't know about you, but I'm getting older. I think everybody else is too. We have a limited amount of time to serve God Almighty. We have limited amount of time to store up or send things up to heaven. Amen. And we better be making sure that we're sending some building materials up there that's worthwhile, because that's what he's going to reward us for. Amen. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter, 2nd verse. Verse 1 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and servants and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know what God expects you to do? Just live a faithful Christian life. You know, I mean, yes, that's included in it. Going to church, being faithful to church, that's included in it. Certainly it is. But it's more than that. It's the everyday just living for God, serving God every day of your life, just being a faithful Christian every day of your life. That's what it's about. And God says we're a steward over many things, and we are. You're a steward over your life. I'm a steward over mine. And we are to be sure that stewards are found faithful. That we're found faithful. Amen. You are responsible for that in your life. I'm responsible for that in my life. Amen. Okay, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 9th chapter, 24th verse. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Once again, God is talking about the crowns that we're going to receive, that's going to be there. And we're running a race here. Life is a race. He's presenting it as a race. We run it. We're supposed to run it lawfully. We're to run it faithfully. We're to do all of those things because we are running a race. Every single day of our life, there is something sent up, something done that we can't reverse. Every single day of our life. And so God is saying to us, you're running this race, do it faithfully. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If you notice here again, Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. He's talking about works there. He didn't do all those things to get salvation. Salvation was a free gift to him. These are things he did in his ministry. And he did it faithfully, and he said, because of that, there's laid up a crown of life for him, crown of righteousness for him. Once again, it's rewards that is earned, okay? Now, once again, are you going to be there one day, and are you going to stand before Jesus Christ? Sure you are. Every single one of us. Now, let's go over to Revelation, back to the book of Revelation. Only let's go to chapter 2. Verse 10. He said, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. God again is talking about our faithfulness. And he said, you be faithful unto death. He told him that here in Smyrna. You be faithful unto death. And he said, I'll give you a crown of life. There's a reward for it. I simply went over those, and we could go over many, many more, but I chose some to show you that there is rewards for you and I's works. And Jesus is going to give them out one of these days, and we had better make sure that we, while we're living, are doing what God has given us to do and do it faithfully. Amen. Just do it faithfully. I can't say all that yours is. I can give you some basic things. I can tell you God wants you to be faithful to church. He wants you to be faithful every time the door is open. Yes, he does. He wants you to read your Bible. He wants you to pray. He wants you to witness. He wants you to... Those are just basic things of Christian life. That's basic Christianity. That's not no big deal. Those are things he expects out of us. But he also expects us to work for him. Get the gospel out. Do everything we can to the glory of God, even if it's in the giving of a cup of cold water. Amen. He wants us to do that. So, in other words, salvation is something that is present possession. You and I have it right now. It's mine. It's yours. Works, rewards are future. And that's where it's kind of hard for us. It's kind of difficult. Now you say, Brother Ross, God rewards me, not this reward. No, he said, I'll bring them rewards with me. He's never rewarded you for this. He's never rewarded anybody for those rewards. He said, I'm bringing them with me when I come. Now, you and I both feel rewarded by what God's done for us, but that's the blessings of God. That's things he does for us. But there's rewards coming or not coming. Amen? So why are you stressing that? Well, simply for this reason. I believe you and I need to know the seriousness of it, need to realize and understand that that day is coming, it's approaching. And we will stand before God Almighty, and we will stand before our Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll be the ones that hands out these rewards. I think it's serious enough to understand that we need to put up and give up as much as we can toward the Lord and get things ready, because we don't know how much time we've got. Not one of us know whether we've got another day of life or not. It may be all over tonight for any of us tonight, and it's all over, no more chance to lay anything up. Okay? So the reason I'm stressing that to you is because I want you to be able to stand faithful before God and to say, Lord, I did what you asked me to do. I just did what you give me to do. I done it faithfully. Whatever that is, I did it faithfully. Verse number 13 of chapter 22, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He tells us here again, as he did at the very first of the book of Revelation, first chapter 8th verse, he said the very same thing, I am Alpha and Omega. He's making sure that we understand that he alone is the beginning and the end. He's the beginning of creation, but he was also before creation. He was in the end of creation, but he also was after creation. He is forever. There'll never be a time when God does not exist. You understand that. And because of that, there'll never be a time when we will not exist. And so he is the very beginning. He's the very ending. He's the first. He's the last. He said, blessed are they that do his commandments, and they that may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And once again, let me say to you, in these next two verses, verse 14 and 15, he gives us the two type of people there are. There's the saved and there's the lost. You'll find those throughout the scriptures. He's simply saying here, yes, blessed is those that do His commandments, and they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. When you talk about the keeping of His commandments, it's also referring to also the washing of our robes, the washing by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are enabled by Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ, to keep His commandments. You and I cannot do that on our own. But the Lord Jesus Christ enables us with the ability to keep His commandments. But it's because of His shed blood that allows us to enter in to the gates of the city. It's because of His shed blood that allows us right to the tree of life. It's not works that has ever done that, never would. That would be contrary to the Bible. He's not saying you keep commandments and that's the way you're saved. God is not saying that whatsoever. But He is saying, He is giving us the ability and the power through faith in Jesus Christ to keep the commandments of God Almighty. And we do have that ability. We do have that power in us. Holy Spirit of God is there and empowers us. And so He says in verse 15, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, murderers and adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." I'm going to take just a moment and spend just a little bit of time on this word dogs. I'm going to go to the book of Deuteronomy, first of all, in the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy. He gives us various types of people here. That is not it's a limited list. It is not a conclusive list. It's limited. But He gives us some very vicious kind of people here in the verse that I just read to you in verse number 15. I just want to take a few moments and talk to you about the dogs there in Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter. And let me read verse number 17. "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God." Up in verse 17, He spoke of the whores and He spoke of the sodomites. Down in verse number 18, He once again speaks about the whore, but He also speaks about the price of a dog. I believe He's referring to the sodomites. He's referring to them as dogs. Now He says this. He says, "You do not bring into the house of the Lord thy God any vow, or for even both those are abomination unto the Lord thy God." I believe something. Not only these things here, but I believe that tithes and offerings that is brought into the house of God should be honestly gained. That's why you've heard your preacher say, "I don't want any lottery winnings." Now, you can laugh at me on that, but I mean that with all of my heart. I don't want a result of some lottery winning. That's bringing the wrong money into the house of God. And if any of you want any lotteries, don't bring it in here. I don't think you play the lottery. But what I'm saying to you is, it does matter what comes into the house of God and what supports this house of God. It matters. It matters because it's people, hard-working people, that go out and earn that money. And they bring it into the house of God. They give it because they love God. And that's the way the house of God is supported. And what I'm saying is, we don't bring the wrong kind of money. And all in churches across America, in different places, there's people who buy their way in. And they let me say to you, they make money the wrong way. They make fraudulent money, and they want to bring some of that into the house of God. That's a disgrace to the house of God. And I'm glad we've got hard-working people here that just go out and earn money and bring their tithes and offerings out of that and bring it into the house of God. That's why God can bless it. Amen? So here, I believe He's talking about the sodomites. He talks about the dogs there and refers to them in verse 17 and then again in verse number 18. But He talks over here back in Revelation. He said, "For without are dogs," and He talks about sorcerers. The word sorcerer there is a word that speaks of, if you look it up in the concordance, it says it's a spell given portion. It's talking about drugs, and in fact, in the concordance it says druggist. The word druggist. And not only that, it's talking about poisoners, people who would poison people with drugs. So sorcerers, we're in the very day of sorcery. We're living in that kind of time. These drug situations is just a part of the end times. But God says they're not going to be there. Now, I'm saying to you, we all know that those kind of people can be forgiven. We all know a sodomite can be forgiven. Thank God for that. You know, we're not saying that. We're just simply saying they're not going to live in that kind of life and be that kind of people and get to heaven. They're not going to be there. Amen? And he talks about the murderers, the whoremongers, the adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. He gives us a list of some people, not a conclusive list, but he gives us a list of some horrible, horrible sins here. Various types of people whose character is evil and terribly evil, you see. And so he's given us, in verse 14 and 15, he's given us the two type of people who's going to exist and who exist today, and that's those who are ready for heaven and those who are not ready for heaven. In verse number 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Just to make note, he talks about testify of these things in the churches. We haven't heard about the church since back in chapter 4. Chapter 4 is the last time we heard about the church, when it was called up hither. And here now, we first again hear the church. He said, but that's why I sent my angel to testify to the churches. He's talking about us, folk. Talking about churches all over this land. He sent his angel to testify through the writing here, the book of Revelation, testify of these things. Not only that, I call it the Jewish connection. He doesn't forget his Jewish connection, because immediately after the churches, he says, and I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So he's talking about the Jews also here. And he's talking about him being the bright and morning star. Do you know Satan was called the son of the morning? Satan was referred to back in Isaiah 14 chapter as the son of the morning. He liked to be considered the day star. But let me tell you, he's going to be put down, and at this time he's where he's supposed to be, and then comes the true bright and morning star that lights up the morning and the new beginning of eternity. It's a new day when Jesus comes. Eternity is coming, you see. And he says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit of God is calling today in our day for people to come to Christ. And when we, as the bride, the church, is also calling out, we're calling out to people to come to Christ. If you notice here at the very end of the book, he gives the invitation. He gives again once a call from him for people to get saved. He said the Spirit of God is saying come. He says the bride is saying come. And let him that hears say come. Who's that? Well, Brother Ross, that's those who hear. That's you and me after we've heard. What do? We say, come, join us. Come to Christ, you see. And then he says, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. At the very end of the book, this wonderful book that God has written, at the very end of it, he gives an invitation. Whosoever will can come. If you're not saved tonight, you can come and take of the water of life freely. You can do that. Tonight, right here, you can do that. Isn't that wonderful? And he's given that last call here. And then he says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You've noticed that I even done this when I began the book of Revelation. I mentioned unto you there's so many things in the book of Revelation that we have to be careful with. We have to be careful about being so dogmatic about this or that. We can be dogmatic about it's going to happen because it's there. But we have to be dogmatic of maybe sometimes of how it's going to happen and what time period that's going to be in. We have to be a little careful about those things. And I told you when I began the book of Revelation, I told the Lord, I just don't want to be wrong on things that would hurt anything, that would take from you or distract from your word. Because the word of God here is talking about that we ought not to add anything, you see, anything to the word of God. You can't add anything to it. My wife and I, and it's a personal joke we have, I'm always talking about Psalms 32. There's no such thing. But I'm always talking about Psalms 32. I'll say, well, I'm putting this in Psalm 32. I'm sorry, Proverbs 32. I said Psalm. Proverbs 32, I'll always tell her, that goes in Proverbs 32. And the whole thing about it, you know, I've got quite a few things that I think ought to be there, you know. But anyway, it isn't there. It isn't there. His word is finished. And we cannot add anything to it. It's dangerous to mess around. I don't think a lot of these translators or the ones who are bringing out these quote new translations, I don't think they know what they're fooling around with. Well, you better not add anything to the Word of God. That's scary. And then God says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. It's a dangerous thing, you see, to take away something from the Word of God. To take it out, to take it away. And we don't be careful. We can kind of be guilty of that sometimes by not taking Scripture and realizing and understanding that it's all the Word of God. Folks, it's all the Word of God, all of it. We may not understand all of it or have comprehension of all of it, but it is God's Word. It's already settled. It's already done. God doesn't need any help with His Word. It's already settled. And then He said, He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. The third time in the last chapter, He says, I come quickly. He's reminding us there at the very ending of this book, I come quickly, and He says, Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I don't know for sure. I think this is John speaking. I read one time, maybe it was the Holy Spirit of God putting in, even so come, Lord Jesus. Seems to be John speaking after the statement was made, behold, I come quickly, even so come, Lord Jesus. And you know, that's a word that you and I imagine I do as I get older, use more than I used to. Even so come. Kind of look forward to it, amen. Even so come. And He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know, that last statement, I've taken a lot of time to do anything with it, but I want to tell you something. That's one of the greatest statements. One of the greatest needs that He knew that you and I would need as the very last words in the Bible. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You know what? You and I need God's grace. When He put all that down in the book of Revelation, talked all about the tribulation period, talked about the church ages and tribulation period and judgments and all those things, He was saying to you, well, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You're going to need it. He's saying to you and I today, as we labor for Him, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And folks, it is. His grace is here. His grace is sufficient. No matter what you go through, or matter what you ever went through, others have went through it too. Okay? And the grace of God saw you through it. Amen. Can you testify to that? Sure you can. Look back on your life and think, oh, someone told me just last night, I don't know how people live that don't know God. I don't know how they face life, and I don't either. But you and I have the grace of God, and it is sufficient. Let's pray. Father, thank You again today for the wonderful grace of God. Thank You for Your grace being with us from day to day. And Father, thank You for Your saving grace that provided us salvation, that we might spend eternity with Thee. Thank You for the book of Revelation. In Jesus' name, amen.